There you go. Yes, you're on.
All right. Hey, guys, I'm so glad you're here. And my name is Diana, and it is a great pleasure and privilege to get to be with you tonight. You know, when I first heard about First Baptist Houston, it was in the Cindy Pitts era. Was anybody here with Cindy Pitts?
Oh, yeah.
She was my hero. And so when I started ministry 27 years ago, I met Cindy, and I said, wow, that woman knows everything. Her and my boss, Saunders Saunders. And so just thrilled to get to come back and see your great church. And we get to hear so many great things about all that's going on at First Baptist Houston. So thank you for the honor and privilege of being here. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you, God, for this time just to, on a Friday night, to just pause and get to hear all that you're doing. And God, we just thank you for this incredible church. We thank you for the pastor's heart as he just shared. God, we want to see the possibilities and reach more people for you. So, Jesus, thank you for this church. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross so that we can all know you. And, God, thank you for these incredible people who are giving up their Friday night, their time, their away from home and family and things going on to be here, to invest, as they already do on Sundays, in the next generation, but to even think of new ways to do that and think of just opening all of our hearts and minds to what you have for tonight. And so, God, I just pray that nothing comes out of my mouth that doesn't honor you and give you glory, that it will be an incredible time for us together, and that we'll really get to learn and be more like you than we are right now. We love you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, hopefully, yeah, I know a lot of you guys know each other, and some of you have been here for so many years, and that's so cool. But sometimes there's some people you don't know. And the truth is, in kids' ministry, it's important that those relationships are strong among your kids and you with them, but also among your team. And because a lot of you are giving up your own Sunday school classes and things as you minister and lead. So we're going to do a little fun game. And you've got on your table a paper plate, a cheap paper plate, as you can tell, and some markers. And so I need you, for yourself, to draw a plate full of you. So like for me, I'll tell you my plate here. I'm from Ohio, Cincinnati, Ohio. I went to Liberty University in Virginia and then moved to Dallas actually for a marketing job, and then felt God call me and quit my job and started my internship at Prestonwood. That was 27 years ago, and that's where I'm a children's minister. And then now I have an incredible husband, Charles, that we've been married 23 years. And Michaela is a junior at Baylor, a nursing student, just moved to the Baylor Hospital in downtown Dallas. And then my little boy is a senior. His pictures were up there a little bit ago. He's a pro football player. So I got a football and a softball. Oh, there they are. So that's my little plate full of me. So draw your plate full of you, and then you're going to meet somebody you don't know, because it's important that we're always building relationships. So give you a couple minutes to do that. And because I'm a chocoholic, there is chocolate on your table. So it wouldn't be good to have a Friday night without a little chocolate. So. Leaders, Bible fellowship leaders, are usually the ones who are already doing so much, and they're giving so you do make such a difference. And so as we think about this tonight, we have to think about that one day. Because every time these kids come to this church, we need to treat this. It could be their only one day to hear about Jesus. Because just like you know, like we just talked about, some kids you don't see next Sunday. Some kids you don't see for another quarter. Sometimes it's the Easter Christmas kids. Of course, they can't really determine that. They've got to have their parents bring them. We have, at our church at least, we've got 35% that come every other week. I probably you have a lot of that too. And so when the economy's better, it hurts us a little because people go to their lake houses. It's kind of good when the economy was kind of the worst because everybody's staying in town a little more. But the truth is, we have to be ready where the kids are to accept them and to help them feel accepted. And so a big part of that is those relationships and feeling connected to you as their leader and feeling connected to each other. So as we plan for Bible fellowship for Sunday school, you call it Bible study? Life groups.
Life Bible study.
I can't get Bible fellowship but right at my church. But so, life Bible study. Think about that. Think about each Sunday as you plan this. What if this is that one day? What if this is the only day? What if I don't ever see this child again? I got to make sure that when they get, that God has an incredible plan for them. That they know, as I wrap up that lesson, that I'm telling them how they can know Jesus personally. Because who knows when they're going to hear it again? So even though, and that's why there's some clocks on your table, we're thinking about that one day. We're thinking about that 1 hour. This would be so intentional with it, so strategic. You know what? That 1 hour starts when they walk in that door. And so that's why it's so important as you, the incredible leaders, the truth they come. The truth they're early. Because, you know, really the truth is that relationship building is that hanging out time. Not really at the time Sunday school exactly starts, but that time when they're just hanging out, or they're helping you put stuff on the table, or they're just with you, or they're playing a game, or whatever's going on in that time. And that's huge. Because that 1 hour needs to really be the best part of the week. And so think about that with me as we think through tonight and think a little bit differently about that, because that 1 hour really has to be the very best. And the Bible talks about that in Psalms 25:4. Show me your way, O Lord. Teach me your paths. And as we think through these kids and think through these things tonight on what we can do even better. And I know there's a lot of incredible experience here. Listening to all of you and how long you've been at this church. I know you've done incredible things. And we're not here to say, hey, change everything. But we have to continue to say, let's rethink what we do and make sure we're reaching the kids of today. So we're going to have a fun little quiz. Are you ready for a quiz? It's Friday night. This isn't a serious one. This is more about let's think about who the kids are in our classes every day. We got a prize. So it might be our Aggie might win. We're not positive here anymore. Aggies here, okay? So you got a quiz sheet there, and we'll see how you do, okay? Now, you don't have to know the answers of this to be a great Bible fellowship teacher, but these are the things, according to the Kids' Choice Awards for last year, who our kids really are looking up to, and probably you've heard about them as you've talked to them in your classes, okay? So let's think about this. What was the kids' favorite animated movie of 2014? Frozen, of course. Let it go. Let it go. And so I'm not in the choir, as you can tell, but Frozen, every kid, girl or boy, if you start the song, they can finish it for you. So that's what it is. You've heard it many times.
What did you say?
Frozen.
Frozen, yeah.
Yes.
The high story.
Yes. You got it. And so, what do you think the favorite movie of 2014 was?
Frozen?
No, that was the animated,
oh.
Just the regular movie. Think back, it's only been a month. What were those kids' favorite movie of 2014? Hunger Games! Hunger Games! Way to go! Actually,
oh,
okay.
Man, that's good.
Hunger Games. So you got to think, okay, well, there's a lot of things you can learn as we're relating our incredible Bible lessons about from some of this. Okay, we're going to go quicker because we're going to run out of time here. Favorite movie actor? If you know it, just shout it out.
Meryl Streep.
Cutter?
Sam and Cat. Oh. It's kind of the iCarly. It was the one over there. Hmm. Sam and Cat. Favorite reality show? Especially with the boys.
Survivor? Wrestling one?
Wrestling one? No. Wipeout. Why? Because they love crazy humor. They love when people fall. That's hilarious. So, favorite cartoon? This one's been around forever. That's it. SpongeBob SquarePants. They still like it. So. Favorite female singer? For a kid. What would the kids pick? Selena Gomez. Favorite male singer? Come on, Mr. Aggie. Justin Timberlake. Can you believe that still? Favorite book? Favorite book series? There's a lot right now. But the ones kids still pick to us on the Diary of a Wimpy Kid. That's a crazy series. It's still there. Okay, what was the favorite video game? I wish we had it tonight so we could all get up and do it. It's Just Dance 2014. Hmm. So they love playing. They love getting up and being crazy. Okay, favorite athlete. You should know this because he's from Houston.
What?
Huh?
J.J. Watt.
No. Oh. At least that's not the one that won the award. He's from the Houston Rockets. Of all the United States, who picked him?
Ted Harden.
Dwight Howard.
Oh.
Houston Rockets. And then their favorite app. What app was bought more than any other app last year from kids in elementary?
Candy Saga, something or other.
Minecraft was, that was very close. Because, you know why? Because it was a little later in the year, but it was Despicable Me, Minion Rush. So, why do you need to know all that? You don't have to know it all, but you need to kind of know what your kids are experiencing. Because, man, we want to make sure they understand. The Bible is not a history book, guys. The Bible will help you in every area of your life today in 2015. It's going to help you at home when maybe you don't understand what mom and dad are yelling about, or when your brother gets on your nerves. you're sharing God's word and when you're sharing these Bible stories, they can process so much more than any other group. But the problem with it is they have to have it in bite-sized pieces because they're not used to listening to the same thing for days. They're not used to these long talks. This would kill them tonight if they had to sit here for an hour because they things change so rapidly. If you think about it, because at least in Dallas, I know, and I bet it happened here really a lot with the political ads. Think about this with me for just a second. In 1930, political ads, sound bites, were 48 seconds. In 1990, they moved to 18 seconds. Today, they're right around 8 seconds. How many times they change all the different facts? Because everybody is changing all the time and things have to keep moving fast. That's hard. Because we'd like to jump into that lesson and really help them to understand. But they're already off. If we spend too much time, their brain's off to something else. And so we have to always be thinking, how am I keeping them connected? I got to keep them moving. And you know that if you're teaching a 10-year-old, you only have about 10 minutes. It's 1 minute per age. Or they're off. They're watching how many ceiling tiles are this way and how many go that way. And what's all that stuff back there? And if they have their phone with them, it's a killer. And of course, everybody has their Bibles on their phones. And so that's a hard thing. And I don't know how you all handle it. I mean, we just say, you know, thank God they got their Bibles. But that's hard because you don't know if they're playing games or they're really looking at their Bible. But they also know their parents have said, don't go anywhere without your phone because I want to always be able to reach you. Again, it goes back to that overprotective generation that we have right now. So, the Homelander generation. Do you feel like your class is very much team players or do you feel like they're more self-directed alone? Or do you have a little mixture of both? Does your planning and your Bible studies reflect both? Or is it more this one way? So we have to think about that. Are they more, do we give them enough information and give it to them in a way that they really can connect? Are we changing it up? Or are we standing here and lecturing to them for long periods of time and they're not even connecting? Because that's just not who they are. That's hard. Believe me, when I started in children's ministry, I took it just like I did my business job. I had my legal pad, and this is how this Sunday morning was going to go. 9:12, we're going to do this, and 9:18, and man, I wanted to get through that list. That was a really big deal to me, and I love lists. That didn't work, and it sure doesn't work today, and that was 25 years ago, because they are never going to follow me for an hour on something when their brain's going all over the place. So it's something we have to think about. So you have to think, agree or disagree with the kids in my room. So how does that change how we do Sunday school? Well, one, we have to give them smaller bites of information. We have to teach them that God's word will help them with anything and everything at any age. But we have to do it in a different way. Small bite sizes. Don't dwell on something more than 5 minutes. Oh. And then repeat information and concepts often. Because they are on information overload, think about how many commercials you see in a day. And our kids are so screen addicted, they're seeing ads all the time. So much information. We have to keep repeating it to them. And even making sure that as they leave that day, one more time you're helping them. Now, how is this going to apply to your life this week? Hey, I can't wait to hear about how God used this in your life. And then asking them the next week and keep repeating it and keep going over it and keep helping them understand. This is for them. So, one of the things about the homeland generation, are they team players or do you think they're more individualized? That's a big deal, especially as we plan and teach. The great thing is, though, because they are so individualized, this generation, even more than the generation before, love when you call them. They love when you give them a text. Those fifth and sixth graders, yeah, let's be honest, they're not going to talk long to you even if they do answer their phone. My son, the other day, we were looking at our phone bill. I was like, Michael, I was the only only person you talk to on the phone. But you have 3,200 text messages. How is that possible? And I was like, you've got no more phone. This is crazy. Of course, they're group text, so they have, but, so I was talking to all the fifth and sixth grade parents. I was like, what are y'all seeing? What's about the numbers of, that's like normal. And so we got to think, how am I reaching these kids? So if I need to be more individualized, it can't just happen on Sunday morning. They need to know that, hey, their Sunday school teacher, their life group, life Bible study leader is wants to connect with them during the week. So whether it's a phone call from you, or a postcard, or a text, these individual things will make a huge, huge difference in this home and generation.
How in the world does a child read 3,200 text messages and do homework and chores around the house?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you'd have to ask my son that question.
But they do, trust me.
Yeah. Now, these texts are like one letter, like K or C, and of course, nobody sends a text like we do. You know, like I send my mom, hey, love you, see you tomorrow, I can't wait to talk to you. You know, because I always call her on the way home from church Wednesday nights and Sundays at different times. But I'll text them every day. But Michael never sends a text just to one person. I mean, that would be crazy. They're going to send a text to 18 or a group or all his buds that he's lunch together. I mean, so it's so different. But yeah, it's a great question.
Do you ever get to talk? Do you ever really get to talk to him?
My son?
No,
yeah.
I mean, he's away. Like, you know you're going to send him a text message. But do you ever get to just say, talk to him? Like, both of you?
Well, I do now because he's a senior in high school. But next year will be totally different. And I've just had to come to grips with that. That, you know, my daughter, yes, she calls. We talk multiple times a day. My son, he's already told me, Mom, that is not normal. And I need you to know I won't be doing that. So I'm going to be in depression. I already told our church staff, and so everybody know I would be in a funk in August. And so please just don't talk to me a lot. There's a big problem. You need to wait till like September and tell me if I've done something wrong. But it will be hard.
Well, the reason
but those text messages, if they got a text message from you, your table group, those boys would think that's so cool.
Well, here's the thing. I have six grandkids.
Yeah.
I can't talk to any of them.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk.
But they want to hear from you.
I have to call their parents to send them a text message to tell them something, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't text.
Oh, you don't text. Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, you need to text.
I guess so.
With six grandkids, they would think that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
My parents just got into texting because all the grandkids didn't pick up the phone.
Right. That's exactly right.
And so, but can I tell you, you're sixth grade? Because didn't you say you teach sixth grade? Fifth grade.
Yeah.
How awesome. Doesn't take much time. It's not much money, but to say, man, my teacher sent me this text. How cool is that?
Yeah,
I promise you, it's a big deal.
You can make your letters A.
Yes, you can. You can change your font. There's a lady that sits in front of me at all the football games, and her font is so big. I was like, I hope you never have anything personal, because I can read everything on your font. And I do. It always attracts my attention. And I'm like, I feel terrible. I'm always reading your phone. But anyway. Our students, the Homelander generation, and how does that, as Sunday school leaders, as life Bible study leaders, change the way we prepare and the way we teach every week? Because it goes back. I only got this one day, guys. I only got this 1 hour. We can't do it the way we did it 25 years ago. These kids deserve the best. They deserve to know that, man, I love being in God's house. Because if we catch them now, we're not going to lose them. The problem is we've had this generation who hasn't done Sunday school and hasn't done coming to church. And now they're kind of all changing their tunes. Some of our very big churches in America who are amazing, who never had kids in worship, are now saying, man, when you don't get to be 18 and just decide, hey, I want to go in this big room and sit with people I don't know. And so knowing how your church is and how much you love and care for kids is huge. But that also puts us a big burden on saying, man, Lord, help me to rethink. Help me, Lord, to say, am I doing the very best with what you've given me? The greatest gift these incredible kids doing the best for that one day? Am I doing the best for that 1 hour? Help me not to get stuck with my list like what I was with. Lord, help me to rethink. Because I don't got much time, and I don't know if they're coming back. And I want to make sure they know when they leave that door what that aha was, what that connection point was from that Bible lesson to what's going on in their life, and to know that Jesus wants to know their personal life. So it's huge. All right, here we go. We're taking too long. So sorry. All right, we got a lot to go. So, one day, 1 hour. So that was your quiz. Oh, we had a prize. Who got 3 or 4 of them right? Was it just you, Bubba?
Probably got 2.
Michael, you got 2? Michael! I expected more than that from an Aggie. Anybody get more than 2? Linda? Any of you guys? Oh, come on. Seriously?
I got 1.
Okay, Alex decided.
Yeah, we have a
macaroni
grill.
Did we get 2?
Gift card.
Yeah.
Anybody get more than 2?
He got 1.
Okay, he got more than 2. Okay, there you go. You got a $25 gift card from your church. There you go. All right. So,
congratulations.
All right, great job. Even from an Aggie. When I moved to Texas, I was from Ohio, and then, you know, I went to college in Virginia.
Ohio.
That's right. Me and him, we've got a common thing thread already.
Sorry.
It
doesn't happen a lot.
What is that? I think that's a cult. Because I met this guy in Singles, and he had a burgundy car. He only wore burgundy clothes. He had a Singles party at his house, and there was this stuff everywhere, like in his fireplace, these bricks. And then there's bonfire thing pictures over. And I was like, oh, my gosh, get me out of here. I remember talking to my parents about that. I don't know what this is, but I think it's really weird. And then I realized it's an incredible school, and they just have incredible spirit. But wouldn't it be great if we could do that in our church? Wouldn't that be great if kids felt like that about Jesus and his word? Because they should. But man, it starts with us being as passionate about Jesus and them knowing him as the Aggies are about burgundy. And so, Maria. I'm so sorry. Thank you for helping me with that. And I do hit people. In my church, as much as this video, they will say, yes, she does. She hits everybody. So, let's keep going. So, one child, one student, 1 hour. What are we going to do? We got to remember that 85% of them come to know Jesus before they're 18. That's why every time you finish a lesson, make sure you're wrapping it up with the gospel. Make sure they have that chance in case it's their only one day. So how do we personally impact kids and families? One kid at a time. And Jesus was that great example, just like Jesus is in everything in our life. As he took time, he went out of his comfort zone, off the road, to hang out with Zacchaeus. So are we getting out of our comfort zone? Because for some of us, if you were like me, and you were used to teaching with that legal pad and wanted it this one way, that's hard. That's out of our comfort zone. But we got to do it. And Jesus showed us how to do that. Okay, let's keep moving. So, who's that one? Let's look for that. Let's keep it going.
Next one?
Yes, sir. So how do we do real learning? We're going to go through this quickly. And I know you know this. This is a reminder. The R in real learning is relational. We talked about that already with cheap paper plate. But make sure you have a great connection with these kids. Make sure they have a great connection with each other. You don't have to have every minute of Bible study just being Bible study. It's okay to have 5 minutes of just hanging out and talking and asking them how their week went and their soccer game and their softball game and their football game and getting into their world. That's huge. The E, experiential. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Stay there. Today, how I'm doing it, because we're going too fast and we spent too much time on something else, but if we're really making this a great Bible study of a life group, life Bible study, is that right? We would have a lot of share pairs. We would be having you guys stop. Okay, Linda, Michael, you guys share, talk about this and then come back to the group and tell us what you think. What does the Bible say about this? You want them to experience it. The only way they really are going to raise their level of learning is talking among each other. Now, sometimes that's a little stressful because you lose control. And for people that like control and like the room quiet, that stresses them out. That's not we're 100% there. We're about 90% there. And we're like, well, but man, we will never go away from the main thing what Bible study is about, and that's teaching God's word. But we can't have a teacher standing here for 30 minutes and talking and then going to the craft table and then doing, you know, prayer time and then leaving. We got to do more of a ping-pong style of teaching. And so we did it the first year in training and moved, and then the second year we're like, okay, this year we're all going to do this. And we finally, except for two, and now we have other people that help in those rooms, have said this is the way we're committed to, because it's the way kids learn. So a teacher teaches 4 to 6 minutes the Bible study, then they ping it back, and the table group leader does it with their small group where they're all talking and it's loud. And they ping it back to the Bible study director, and they go on in the lesson a little bit more, and then she pings it back, or he pings it back to the table group leader. But the truth is, these are the people that matter. These people who are building these relationships and making those connections and letting those kids talk about that Bible story. Because if we really want them to learn, remember, they can't just be listening. That's the lowest level of learning. They got to be talking. They got to be moving. They got to go back and forth. And that's a huge part of experiential learning. The lesson will stay with them 9 times longer if they experience it. That's why a lot of times in worship, and let's face it, our pastors have it hard. They're trying to preach to thousands, so they can't really have everybody stop, turn to your friend, and talk about. So that's hard. But that's why sometimes by Tuesday, you don't remember what the message was on Sunday, and it was awesome. Now, if somebody reminds you, but if you sat in a small group and you really talked about it on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you still remember it. And isn't that our goal? Our goal is just not for them to remember until Sunday night, but to remember over and over and over. That's the experience life. So experiential. The A is application-oriented. We talked about that just a little bit ago, but making sure they're not just hearers of the word, but we're helping them understand, hey, this is something you can do this week. But then that takes a little more on your part of saying, how do I do that? How do I connect that to my table group? But you know better than anybody else. You know who's struggling with, thank you, who's struggling with a brother or sister at home, or who's got it really tough at school because they're being bullied. You can help them say, hey, this is how God's going to help you with this. Think of this when that happens, and help them apply it in case they cannot. And then as they leave, making sure they get that aha, like we talked about just a little bit ago. And then the next Sunday, hey, how'd that work for you this week? Having that follow-up. The last, the L, is the learner-based. And just remembering that everything we do is to make that one day on that kid's level the best it can be. And some of these changes help with that. So just a little bit to think about as we think about real learning. Okey-dokey. All right, so what are the ways? What's the best learning models? And I know we all do different things in our classes. And this is the cone of learning. You've probably heard about it many times. If you want the kids to remember it the least, just use words. That's why us talking, lecture talking, that's why you needed to write and kind of do different things. But if I want you to learn a little bit more, I'm using some visual things. So you're looking at it. That's why there's a clock on their table. That's why there's some words here. I want to hope you'll remember that, hey, it's about one day. Then if I go down, I'm using some recordings and sound. Go on through all the pictures you can see here are all the different things. If you really want them to remember, it needs to be personal. It needs to be purposeful, and they need to experience it. And that goes back to talking about it. Make sense? They've got to have a chance if they're really going to leave. The other two, experiences, having games, having role play, having things where they're getting up out of their seat and doing things, dramatic presentations. For some kids, I would now what? Go to your second page, if you don't mind. And we're going to go quickly. We have 10 minutes. I am burning up. I think it's just me. So, what do you need to do? First thing, show up. You guys already do that. You're faithful. You're committed. But remember, the early bird gets the worm. Study your passage early in the week because the Holy Spirit wants to teach you just like he does them. And you know what's so cool is when you can give them a personal story about what the Holy Spirit taught you that week as you were preparing, that makes a huge difference. They love to hear about you. So make sure we're teaching from the overflow of our life. And showing our face early just means come in here and greet them when they're walking in and make it their big deal. Second, just build relationships. We've talked enough about that. Next of all, pray. I don't know how you guys do it here. Our small group leaders have like a cheap notebook from Walmart, and it's just a journal so that all the kids can write down their prayer requests for that week, and then we go back the next week, and the teachers can pray for them during the week, we hope. Doesn't always happen. But they also can go back and say, hey, now last week we prayed for grandma, or we prayed for your dog, or we prayed for, and check back on it. And it's a journal that we kind of use through the whole year to see how God answered prayers. I don't know, it's your church. I feel like our church is pretty normal. You know, sometimes as I counsel kids for their baptism, the only time they talk about praying is at the dinner table and when they're tucked in at night. And a lot, to be honest, is just at the dinner table. And so these consistent prayers of you guys praying over them and praying for their needs and their requests is huge. And knowing that you're, you know, following up on that is massive. So praying and praying together. Play. Have fun. You know, these things were in the class. I didn't bring these. Oh, man. Shouldn't church be the most punished place ever? This was awesome that these were here. Because the truth is, man, if they're not having fun, my kid wants to go to a boring class. Does it need to be so crazy that we're not getting the Bible study taught? No. But there sure does need to be a good balance. You know, when our kids, of course, you know, when you work at the church, your kids live in the church. So I used to say, you know what, I don't care what they eat on Sunday. Oh, my goal is they love being at church. So if they need three snacks and whatever, they're not wearing their shoes. Or, you know, one lady always said, man, your kids are very casual. Or come in their jeans on Sunday. And I was like, yeah, you know, they do. I really don't think God cares. But I just want them to love coming to church. And praise the Lord. I mean, they are 18 and 20, 21 next week. I'm thrilled that my kids love the church. Because they could have gone, because they had to be there. They never even knew till they drove that people didn't all go at 7 a.m. to church. I mean, my son, thank God, he doesn't skip. But, I mean, he's like, what a difference to come to church at 9:15. They never had a clue. We were looking at their Easter pictures the other day, and they were like, why is all of our Easter pictures in the dark? And I was like, because we had to be there at 6 on Easter. You know, their dresses and cute little ties on and pitch black outside. So, it was always funny. But we got to make sure. proud to ask, but we know these kids have a need. These kids need to feel trusted when they come to your class and know that you're there for them. That's huge. They need to know that, hey, you know what? I'm here to learn too. And let them see that, hey, God's teaching me every week just like he's teaching you. Children aren't looking for experts. They're looking for learners who are still on the adventure of following Jesus. And you know, for this incredible table, can I say, man, how awesome that you're here and how awesome that you pour into them to see that, man, following Jesus isn't something under sixth grade because my mom put me in this class. But man, following Jesus is an adventure, and it's forever, and what God wants to do. And then we need to make sure they understand that, hey, what do you think? That you care about what they think. Because kids today learn by interacting and processing, not just by listening. We've already talked about that. I probably beat that over a dead horse there. And then we need to show every child acceptance by acceptance and love about what they have to say. And then our job is not just an information unloader, but a facilitator as we help them all talk and share together. Because we want to make sure, I want you to understand. Kids need to see, we need to see these kids, this homeland generation, as individuals. We need to know them personally. And we need to look for those teachable moments. Some is in all that crazy stuff we talked about at the beginning with Selena Gomez and those crazy games and movies. Because we need to know a little bit about their world. All you got to do, if you spend 30 minutes on a Saturday morning and watch some crazy cartoons, you will know their world. We tell our staff once a month, I need you to always be spending time watching kids' cartoons or make at night or whatever. You need to know what your kids are experiencing, and we want to help them understand. We need to see them as individuals and know them. Look for those teachable moments. Last of all, we need to make sure they understand that they are a treasured child. A lot of our kids don't hear that word at home because all they're hearing is, no, don't do that, or why aren't you like your sister, or why aren't you like your, I wish you were like those other people at the church's kids. But we need to make sure they understand they are treasured children in God's eyes, and God makes no mistakes. And some of our kids, my daughter, she was very dyslexic, and there were times where, man, we were all crying at different days of the week and peeling ourselves off the kitchen table and the floor. And there was a time where we really had to work on making sure she felt like, hey, there is no mistake here. God made us all different, but you're significant just the way you are. And making sure our kids feel like that as they leave and as they're in our Bible fellowship classes. Because the best thing is what we, I know what all of our hearts desire that, is Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I got to tell you about it because I don't want you to ever miss this. So as Bible fellowship leaders, what's our main job? It's to inspire this next generation, this homeland generation, to know that, man, what Jesus has for you is something better than you can ever imagine. You want to be an NFL football player? Awesome. If that's what Jesus has for you, I'll be cheering for you in the sidelines. Man, no matter what, just know that whatever Jesus has for you is going to be better than anything you can imagine. And when we do our one day, and we're spending that 1 hour being so intentional and strategic as we teach these kids, they will catch that. Because our words aren't enough. They got to catch it, and they're going to catch it from you guys as you share what all God's doing in your heart. So thank you for being here. Take a piece of chocolate or two, and thanks so much for coming. Have a great time.
Next up,